Yeah. course class on that.
Thank you.
purchase pizza from Youth Bank. Please bring drinks and desserts. Any questions, ask Karen. She can fill in the rest of the blanks. And also, youth choir practice will be at 4 o'clock, February 23rd, next Sunday.
Right before foundation.
Yeah. Before the foundation's meeting. Please review the song that Karen has sent out to the group, in the group text. I can get right here. Any questions? Again, say Karen. Okay. Any more? I guess that's all announced. Youth revival. And ask for what? What she said?
16th through the 9th.
16th through the 9th.
It'll be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, 7, and it'll be, Saturday evening.
Okay. Everybody got that? Any questions, say goodbye. Okay. I wonder if we got any birthdays and anniversaries this weekend. I know one birthday. Come on, Jesse. Anybody else? Anniversary. First, let's think of a happy birthday to Jesse. We'll get the Robert Chris anniversary.
Appreciate
Robert Shrews.
Amen.
Happy birthday to you.
Just one will not do.
Share a word for me and my family. God the way he moves you through your character and such as that, and lay his goodness and holiness, and may you make more God in it all. I pray that you be with us, Lord, as we serve in those days, Lord, and in the remainder of the service, God, may you make more God, and may this Jesus be exalted. Pray that you give a special touch and heal the Lord of us and see that's afflicted and couldn't be here this morning. And those who are hearts and minds, that's Lord, afflicted, to be your presence, and heal us, and may you help us. Thank you, Lord, for answering prayer and the help that you give those we pray for. Pray that you would help and touch them. Pray that you have this weather today, to be safe, way warm. Lord, that you help us all be thankful. We trust you with everything. Lord, I pray that this church be alive. You have some people who love us here, their lives, their families, their neighbors, their friends, because that you be glorified.
Help us, Lord, to do your will.
It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning.
Amen.
Thank you for another opportunity to come together and worship, see all of you, and be here with you. And I hear it's kind of humming. What is that?
Sounds like it's outside.
I think it's in our sandal, huh? It's outside.
That sounds like a piece of equipment running.
Maybe so. Okay, never mind. I thought it was something in the cell thing. I was like, that's going to distract me. In any case, sorry. I'm one of the common men if I get distracted easy. Yeah, I got that bad. But in any case, I'm glad to be here this morning. I appreciate all y'all. I appreciate the Lord being good to us. I appreciate the Sunday school hour. Had a good time there in the Sunday school hour. I'll go ahead and tell you, it's the column for some bad weather this week on Wednesday in the afternoon. And just to save me from having to try to call each and every person and get in touch with everybody and all that I'm going to have to go through, I'll just tell you this to make it simple. If it snows and there's accumulation on the roads, we'll cancel service Wednesday night. And if it's not and it's clear, then we'll come to church. That's simple, ain't it? I know, Dan, you can make it either way because you're used to driving and stuff like that. But around here, we wreck and we just go crazy.
Yeah, well, around here, you got a little steeper hills than I got.
Yeah. Well, and too, we got a bunch of rednecks that they can't help but spin a tire. And they're like, you know, even when we're going to church, they're like, you know, we might as well just get a little sideways and go around this corner. Just think, you know, they're over in the ditch. So, anyways. But yeah, speaking of rednecks, you know, I see Matt McAbee back there. He's like covered in just like scratches. I'm like, what happened? You look like you've been, you know, stumbled through a briar patch. He's like, I did. And I was like, you? Matt McAbee was stumbled through a briar patch? We've been coon hunting, you've been squirrel hunting. You know, he said, no, me and Matthew Warner, I was over there the other day, and we're shooting this dragon's breath shotgun shells. You know, it's like a flamethrower. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. He's like, yeah, we caught the woods on fire. We had to run down there through the briars and stuff like that. But I was like, you know you're living in a redneck community. But even the computer guys are doing stuff like that. I got a good kick out of that. It's good to laugh. Zine Yoga's got something to say. Sorry, you want to sing some more? Go ahead. When they get done, if y'all want to go ahead and just come on, that'd be good.
Could it be that up in heaven, God is sitting on his
just about to be over as he receives the gift of life. Go sound the Spirit has been working.
And he's talked about how that we cannot just
take the fact and say that, well, I've accepted the Lord as my Savior, and now I'm just going to do this, and I'm going to do this. Listen, he makes it very clear when he says this here, and I want us to notice this first of all, that not everyone who says that they're saved is saved, period. Jesus said that himself. He said, not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The Bible says also, he said that the will of his Father is to believe on the name of the only begotten Son. That is the will of him that sent me. That's what Jesus said. But here we see, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He's asking a question, and the question's in the form of a statement. He says, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. To be not deceived. I want us to stop. If you've got a highlighter, a pen, I want you to highlight or that or draw a line under that in your Bible where it says, be not deceived. And you remind yourself of that in the days and the years to come throughout your Christian life. Do not be deceived. There's many out there today that the Bible talks about, Peter talks about, it says that they were men of old and were ordained to this condemnation. Talk about false teachers that have risen up, said that there was false prophets that rose up among the people in the Old Testament, and there's false teachers in this day, and there's false teachers certainly today, and they make merchandise of the flock of God, and they're doing it for gain, for personal gain, and they refuse to give the truth. Hey, I want to say this. I love you this morning. I want to give you the truth. I want you to understand this, that there is not anything that you could do that could keep you out of the kingdom of God other than rejecting Jesus Christ. Amen. But at the same time, if you have the Spirit of Christ, then there is certain things that will change. This is what I want us to see here. I want us to see this before I even get into reading this. I want us to understand this. This is a list of lifestyles of sin. If you look at this, this is a list of lifestyles of sin. Now, what that means is this, is that you're a Christian if you're saved by God's grace because he died on the cross. You may still sin, I'm going to tell you, you will still sin. It's going to happen, okay? I don't want any young Christian here, whether you're 90 or 9, to think, when I say young Christian, I mean like what I was talking about in the Sunday school room when I was telling y'all about me being a baby Christian. I ain't going to go into that story again. But in any case, I was young, naive, and I just didn't know any better. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I was new to the faith. I was a baby Christian. I was young. And that's what I mean. I don't want any young Christian here to get the wrong idea and think, well, you know what, man, I thought this the other day. I said this, and I've done this. Maybe I need to get saved again. Maybe I wasn't really saved. I'm not trying to put doubt in your mind. You will still sin. But what I'm saying is this, is that there should not be a pattern, a lifestyle of the same things over and over and over again. Whenever I was lost, I was a lot of these things that it mentions here. It's saying this very much, and be not deceived. That's very simple. There's no other way to interpret this. Don't come at me and say, I believe you read that. It says, be not deceived. It's leading you into the fact of saying that there are many who would be deceived. It was mentioned in the Sunday school room this morning that whenever someone is confronted with the fact that they're wrong, it hurts. Whenever I'm wrong, it hurts. I don't like it. Matter of fact, especially when my wife's the one that's telling me, and especially if she's the one that's right. It don't happen often, thank God. But sometimes, you know, she's right and I'm wrong, and I don't like it. I just have to go the other way. I don't even want to hear it, you know. But it's the same way with God. Whenever we're wrong, we don't like it. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes to be wrong. Nobody likes to be wrong and somebody else be right, especially when there's a moral authority. That's why so many atheists, there's so many people that hate God. They get aggressive, they get offensive just by somebody mentioning God or the gospel to them. It's because they are offended, because they're hearing the truth, and the truth is cutting, just like Jesus said that it would. It's a two-edged sword. And it's cutting into the heart, and it's revealing to them their own sin, and they're knowing and understanding that they are sinners. So we see that their works is defining them. And that's why it says, be not deceived. It says, neither fornicators, we understand what fornication is, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind. It's talking about homosexuals. It says, nor thieves, nor covetous, meaning those who would just be greedy. Guess what? If you're a Christian, you should not have a lifestyle of greed and covetousness. Your life should no longer be not deceived. Your life should no longer be centered around your interest and the things that you desire. That is idolatry. That is covetousness. Now, you might get into that every now and then. Though God knows I certainly do every year about the end of November. I get into deer hunting and I get swallowed up by it, it seems like. And I have to fight that. And I have to resist that. In the same way it may happen in the spring with fishing or whatever the case may be. And you may have a certain cycle that you go through. Like Dad was talking about this morning, the cycles, you know, how we constantly are, you know, up and down. I've heard me say a long time, like a roller coaster. We go up and down, you know. But in any case, it should not be something that is a consistent thing that we're staying in, that we're stuck in. You understand what I'm saying? That whenever God saved me, before, there was, of course I was going to live for myself. Of course I was going to pursue my interests above anything else. Because that was my God. That was what was most important to me in life. But when God saved me, all of a sudden, Jesus became the most important thing in my life. It might not always be that I'm pursuing Jesus with 100% of my heart, with 100% of my body, my soul, as I should. But, nevertheless, that is my desire. Why? Because he put the Holy Ghost in me. And he gave me that desire. And so the Bible says, be not deceived. It says that he's not of the covetous. And it says, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Now, it talks about revilers and extortioners. It's talking about those who would use deception to have gain, or they would go by any means necessary to get what they want. Meaning that instead of going about to accomplish something or to accomplish a goal and doing it the right way, it's where that you get to a point where you say that the ends justify the means. Right? Or, you know, we believe as Christians, or we should believe, that the means will dictate the ends. Meaning that whatever you do in trying to achieve that goal will define and determine how that goal turns out, right? Yeah. But there's a lot of people, whenever I was lost, I believed this way. You know, I believed if I just wanted to get something, and I'll just do whatever it takes to get it done. That's the American way, right? Guess what? The American way, not always the biblical way.
Right.
Newsflash. The Bible says, be not deceived. Meaning, don't allow yourself to be deceived by what's popular in your culture, your society, or whatever grandma and grandpa believed in, or whatever mom and dad said. Don't matter. What matters is what the Word of God says. And the Word of God lets us know clearly that there are many that have deceived, and that there are many that have gone out to deceive. Understand this. This is the business that Satan is in. It's the telling of lies and the sowing of deception. Guess what? Satan does not have power other than what God gives him to do. Yeah. The only thing he can do is tell lies.
Yep. Yeah.
And so deception. How did he mess this all up for you and I, that we all fall under the law of sin? How did that happen? Satan told lies. The serpent in the garden. Yep. He told lies to Eve. The Bible says in John chapter 8, it says this. It says, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not the truth because he's a liar and the father of it. When he speaks the lie, he's speaking of his own. You know what it means? It means he's speaking his own language, his native tongue. The language of God is truth.
Yep.
It's all he speaks. The language of Satan is the lie.
Yep.
That's all he speaks. That is his native tongue. You know why we're so constantly influenced by the devil? It's often because we're very fluent in his language. That lie, that deception is something that we tell ourselves. You know, more than anybody else lies to you, a lot of times we lie to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Rather than just accepting the truth for what it is and allowing our lives to be conformed to the truth, we adjust it and we make it so as that it can fit and conform to how we would want it to be, how it would be more acceptable and more tolerable for us so that we will be, you know, more comfortable in it. That's what we seek to do. The Bible says, be not deceived.
It says they will not enter into the kingdom of God. It says that none of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then look what it says in verse 11. It says, and such were some of you. It doesn't say such are some of you. It says such were some of you. Meaning that these things, sure, they can happen. Like I said, I've been guilty of many of these things, living that kind of lifestyle. And like I said, I'm certainly not perfect. I want you to understand that I'm not sitting here saying that I'm without sin. I constantly am messed up. I constantly have to go to God and say, Lord, forgive me of this. Lord, strengthen me in this area. God, help me in this area. But you know why I do that? It's because I do not want to stay the way that I was. It's because I have an innate desire that's not natural, it's supernatural, because I've had a renewing of my mind. The Holy Ghost of God has come into my heart. And so we see how that our works can define us, meaning there's things that you can do and there's things that you can abstain from that will define where you're at with God, to not only to yourself but to others as well. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's telling her. He said, I want you to understand something. He said, listen, church in Corinth, don't be deceived. Don't let them, when you go and you knock on somebody's door and you invite them to church and you tell them, why don't you come to church? And they say, well, I got saved when I was 9 years old, but I'm just going to stay here and drink. Don't be deceived. That person's not going to heaven. They're not inheriting the kingdom of God just because they say that they have a relationship with God. Hey, listen, they might mess up and they might fall out for a time, but it's not going to be forever. It's gonna come back around. When you've got somebody that's, you know, spent 30 years out of church, they've never went back, and they've had no desire, or they've never even come up in church, or they've never had any kind of Sunday school teaching or anything else. I'm sorry, I know this hurts and it offends, but I just want to let you know that the Bible says, be not deceived. That these actions can define your relationship. They can define whether or not that you know God. Like I said, now we don't know for sure. It's between them and the Lord. But I'm saying that this is a good indication. The Bible says, and it makes it clear, it says, be not deceived.
Yes.
It says that, hey, look, when you see somebody living a lifestyle of sin, when you see somebody living in fornication, when you see people living in homosexuality, or you see people living in covetousness, they're centered around themselves, they covet, they're only going to live in idolatry. It says that they're not going to listen. I'm sorry, guess what? The Jew today, the Jewish man today, he's not saved. He's living in idolatry. You say, well, preacher, how's that? Because he's not worshiping Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
He's not worshiping the God of the Bible. He's worshiping the God he's created. He's guilty of the same sin that they were, that had went out of Egypt with Moses, and while Moses was going to receive the law from God, then they had Aaron make that molded again. They made a God the way they wanted. They said, we don't know where Moses, how long, he's taking too long. Here, let's give you some, we'll make some. Hey, listen, they didn't just say, let's make a calf and make up our own God. They made that, and they said, this is God. This is the one that delivered us and brought us through the Red Sea. This is the one that put the plagues on Pharaoh and on Egypt. This is the one. That's what was in their mind to do. They ascribed all those things to this image that they had made. You know why? Because all those things were the things that they liked about the God that they were serving. But there were other things that they didn't. And so the Bible says that they were dancing and claiming that we believe that there was some sort of provocative actions to what they were doing. And Moses, when he came, he was upset. He dropped the tablets and they broke. You know the story. But the point is this, is that just even Jews today are guilty of that. Muslims are not going to heaven. We say, well, obviously, well, I'm telling you, there's people out there today that will trick you and will beguile you into believing that they're worshiping the same God as we are. That's not the case.
Right.
I heard a clip the other day. I was watching a clip of a so-called Christian pastor say that he didn't believe that John 14:6 was really actually something Jesus said. He's trying to basically sympathize for Muslims and whoever else, and you know, he's basically trying to open up a door for a universalist theology. Because if you're not familiar, that's my favorite Bible verse, John 14:6. It's Jesus speaking to Thomas and says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me.
There is no other way other than through Jesus Christ. That is the only way. And so whenever we talk about idolaters, it says that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Someone who is not worshiping Jesus Christ will not inherit the kingdom of God. Guess what? The Muslims believe in Jesus. They just don't believe he was the Son of God and he died for their sins. The Jews believe in Jesus. They just don't believe he was the Son of God and that he died for their sins. It's not a matter of knowing who he is. It's a matter of knowing him.
Yeah.
You understand? In the same sense, there's many people sitting on Baptist church pews that would say that they know Jesus, but they're also idolaters. Maybe not in the sense that they're worshiping Allah, they're worshiping a false form of Yahweh or whatever the case may be, but that in the sense that they have something else that they've made their God, whether it's their self, it could be their spouse, it could be their children, it could be their truck, it could be their house, it could be their job, it could be anything that they've put in place of God to make their life and their world revolve around that. That is idolatry. Be not deceived. You're defined by your works. So we can see how that we can see that there's many that are lost. And this is the point. You're saying in your heart, many of you right now this morning, this is the feeling that you're getting right now. You're saying, man, this makes me feel, this don't make me feel that great. This makes me feel like I'm not doing enough. This makes me feel like that there's people that I was kind of okay with the way that they were doing, and now all of a sudden I'm beginning to think maybe I need to be more worried about them. I hope that's the case. That is my prayer this morning that is the case. That we would realize how urgent the need is in our lives to reach those that are lost and to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. I want to say this. We're not promised tomorrow. Hey, I want to say this. The trumpet could sound any time. There's nothing that's stopping it from happening. Hey, you don't know when this might be your last day on earth. You don't know. I've had friends of mine that's passed away. I've had people in my life that I don't get to see no more. I wished I could go back. I wished I'd have took it more serious. I wished I'd have been more urgent. And I'd have went to them and I'd have given them the gospel one more time just to make sure.
Amen, sir.
You say, preacher, I feel like that, you know, it makes me concerned about myself. Because, you know, listen, we can have assurance, but the Bible does tell us in 2 Corinthians, again, Paul writing to the church in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and in verse number 5, he says this, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves, know ye not our own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. He says, you can know. John puts it this way in 1 John, in chapter number 2. John puts it this way. He says this. He says, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm thankful of that.
Amen.
This morning that I have an advocate with the Father, one who is seated at his right hand that is making intercession for me every single day. He says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the
hath blinded his eyes. He makes very clear here to say that we can know. He says, hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. So, do you want to have assurance? So, again, I say this, that your works, your deeds, that they can certainly define your testimony. And they can also give you assurance in your own self of where that you stand. A lot of times we have doubt. If you've ever been a Christian for long, you've had doubts and fears, more than likely. If you haven't, praise God. Thank God for that and the work that he's doing and has done in your life. And let's pray that he stays that way and that keeps him on. But oftentimes, I believe what leads us to have doubts and fears is because that we're sinners. It's because that we fail. It's because that we mess up. And this is the reality, is that we all will, we all do that. That's why he said that if any sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Right? So John don't just leave us hanging and say, you know, hey, look, if you ain't keeping all the commandments, then you don't know him. Right? How can you know him? Because they just said, you know, he said, you know, hereby do it. But he prefaces that with this. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. But what he's saying is he's pointing back to exactly what Paul taught whenever we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That there's a such thing as a difference between messing up sin and a lifestyle of sin. A pattern of sin, right? This is the thing. Let me put it to you this way. Okay? I say a lot of foolish things. I have that habit of not thinking thoroughly enough, which I'm getting better. I'm working on that. I've been praying about that. Over the years, God's helped me. Thank God for that. But how many of y'all do that? You say things before you think clearly about them. You know, I think we've all done that some point in our life. But for that matter, you can judge me. And, you know, I've said some very foolish things. And, you know, sometimes I'm just, you know, it just is. And I'm sorry for that. But at the same time, you also can forgive me and overlook it. And it doesn't change the fact that you know that I'm Christian. And you don't doubt that, because in most areas of my life, I seek to live for God. And like I said, I fail him. I'm not bragging on me, understand that. I'm bragging on the Lord and what he's done in my life. And I thank God for what he has done in my life. And it is all been by him, I assure you, that it is not anything of me. But nevertheless, that is the assurance that I have. It's because that my desire is to live for him, and because that the majority of my life has been transformed and made to conform to his will and his ways, rather than my own will and my own ways. Whereas before there was a pattern. So let me say this, if instead of just messing up and saying things, you know, whatever, you know, I remember one time, if y'all remember this, I was talking about, you know, Syrophoenician, which starts with a C, it don't even start with an S. But I said, I couldn't think of the word. And I said, you know, it's a long ass word. And with my redneck accent, some of y'all thought I said something else. I guess proper English, I should have said it's a long word that starts with S. That would have been more clear. But in any case, you know, but nobody come with a railing accusation. You know, nobody said, I can't believe you said that. You know, they're just like, oh, I guess he slipped up and said a cuss word. You know, that right there, you know, finally somebody come and told me, said, yeah, you know, I'm sure you probably didn't mean to say that or whatever, you know. It's like, I had to go back and listen to it. And I went back, you know, we have it recorded, and I listened, and I was like, oh my God, that does. It sounds like I'm saying that. And I was like, I know what I was trying to say. I was trying to say Syrophoenician. I was like, why do I think that story is this? You know, I was like, but I did. And I was like, man, I was like, you know, I got to straighten this out. So I had to come and I had to ask, you know, and I thought, well, maybe this one person thought that, because only one person ever said that. And I come and I'm telling the church, and I'm like, you know, a few weeks ago I said this, and I just hope y'all know I didn't say it. And everybody come to me like, oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that. You know, I was like, oh, man. But nobody said nothing. Everybody was just, you know, giving grace. And I thought, man, what a wonderful church I had. That was a great testimony to this church. But now, if I got up here, service after service, and time after time you spoke with me, and you literally hear me cussing and going on, or if you see me and I'm out at the store, and every time you see me walking out of a gas station, I'm carrying a case of beer, or whatever the case may be, and it's a lifestyle, and it's a pattern, that's a completely different story. You can't overlook that. Somebody's going to have to say something. Somebody's going to have to do something. There's going to have to be some sort of intervention that takes place. You can't have a man pastor in a church that's going out drinking and cussing all the time. Right?
Right.
So like I said, even though there's many that thought that I said one, nobody said anything. But if it was a pattern, it would be different. Bible says that it should be that simple. We don't have to complicate it with all this other stuff. It's saying this, that you might still mess up every now and then. Sure. Matter of fact, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say might. You will. Okay? You will. So I don't want you sitting here this morning and thinking to yourself, well, I've said this, I've done this, you know, I'm not sure if I'm safe. That's not the point. The point is this, is that if there is a pattern of sin in your life, repent of it and be born again. And if you know people who have a pattern of sin in their life, then give them the gospel and pray for them and do not give up and do not stop being alive for them. Because your works and their works are defining them to you. God is using that lifestyle that someone else is living, not so that you can judge them. It's not about you deciding what they're worthy of, heaven or hell. That's up to God. It's not got anything to do with that. That's what the world would say. Oh, if you're looking at me, you're judging me. And, you know, to the world, that's the worst sin you could possibly do, is judging someone, right? That's the worst thing anybody can do, is the first somebody to do. It's not the point. The point is this, is so that you can see and understand that they need Jesus.
Amen.
That is the point. God is allowing them to go through that destructive point of life, to live in that sinful way and that sinful lifestyle, so that His children, you and I, can see that there is a problem, there's a pattern, and that we have the opportunity to go to them and to give them the gospel. He says this in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. He says, but such were some of you were. He says, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We've been saved. If you've been saved, you've been sanctified. I'm glad that God started a work in my life when He saved me, and He hadn't stopped yet.
Amen.
You know what? I'm growing all the time, Richard. I say this all the time. I say, I might not be who I are, but by God's grace, I ain't who I used to be. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm glad of that. You know what? I ain't who I used to be last year. I'm glad of that. I'm glad I'm still growing. I don't ever want to get to a point where I say, you know what, I think I'm good enough. Lord, you can just let me be right here. I don't ever want to be there. That wouldn't be no place to be. I remember Curtis Presnell said one time, he's talking to preacher James Lockie. Y'all know who James Lockie is? Y'all remember him? Do you know preacher James Lockie? He's a great man of God, wasn't he? Well, he's about 90, I think, whenever preacher Curtis Presnell asked him this question. And he asked him, he said, preacher, so I'm going to ask you something. He said, how old's a man got to be before he quits struggling with lust? And said, preacher Lockie, he said, I don't know, son. You're going to have to ask somebody older than me. That's the way he talked, you know, with that old gravity voice. But I don't ever want God to quit working on me.
Yeah.
I want Him to constantly be growing me. I enjoy that. I enjoy God sanctifying me. Sometimes it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts growing up, don't it? Sometimes mom and daddy just beats the devil out of you. But you know what? You're glad for it. You know what? I got beat to death growing up. I did. Mama, daddy, everybody whooped me all the time. This ain't no joke. I guarantee you there's weeks. I probably got 20 whoopings in a week at times, didn't I? 20 of them. I mean, you know. But you know what? I'm thankful. Thank God. I'm serious. Thank God that mom and daddy wouldn't let me get away with junk. You know what I mean? They'd whoop my hind end. I tell my youngins that all the time when I have to whoop them. I say, you know, I know you don't enjoy this, but I'm telling you, one day you're going to be thankful.
Yeah.
I remember my daddy telling me that. And I grew up, and, you know, I'd see other kids, you know, they'd say, I'd be around other kids or something, you know, and I'd get in trouble, and daddy'd have to take me, he'd give me a whooping. I'd come back, and I'd have friends, and I've had other kids, and tell me, they'd say, we don't get whoopings, why don't we? And I'm like, you don't get whoopings? No, we don't get whoopings. And I'm like, man, that'd be nice, you know. And I'm like, man, my parents just must be mean, hateful, you know. And I'm like, God, you must have some awesome parents that don't even whoop you, you know. I mean, I realize as I grew up and I seen how their lives turned out.
Amen.
That their parents just didn't love them enough.
True.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah, true.
The Bible says the father, the son who the father loved, he chased them.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm glad that I received that chastisement. You know what, just as it is, I, as an adult, I am mature enough to realize that when even when God chastised me, it's blessedness in that. That there is blessing that God's wanting to give me that I'm going to receive on the other end of that. And so it's worth going through that. The Bible says that even though I was some of these things, that I've been sanctified. The Bible says this, it says I've been washed, that means I've been cleansed. It says I've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Meaning this, that even though I might mess up, even though that I'm not perfect all the time, I'm not living a life of sin no more. I have repented of that. That means I turned my back on that. When God saved me, there was ways that I was doing. There was things that I was living in. And that's what happened. He put His Spirit in me. And I said, I don't want to do this no more. All of a sudden, I want to do what He wants me to do. Before, I didn't want to go to church. I had no desire to go to church. All of a sudden, I want to go to church. You know what? Even whenever I was tired, even whenever there's something else I wanted to do otherwise, I couldn't just lay out of church anymore. I was convicted about it. It wasn't just I wanted to go because everybody else was going. I wanted to go because God wanted me to be there.
Amen.
Even when I didn't want to go, I wanted to go. I didn't want to keep doing the same things I was doing. Even though there's fun, even though I enjoyed them. Sure, there's joy in sin for a season. You can't lie about that. Don't tell these youngins that they ain't no fun to go out here and live it up and party. Hey, yeah, there's fun in it. Guess what? It'll also leave you broken. It'll leave you scarred. It'll leave you damaged for the rest of your life. There'll be things that'll happen that you won't ever get over. You'll have to suffer from some of the consequences of that for the rest of your life. Some of them's physical. Some of them's mental, but all of them's emotional and spiritual. If you live in sin very long, you're going to suffer emotional damage. It's going to be very, very hard to recover from. You young people, when you hear me and you hear me well, you get tangled up in fornication, it'll mess you up emotionally for the rest of your life. You will never have the same kind of fulfilled life as somebody practices abstinence will. I can promise you that. You get tangled up in drunkenness and addiction. You young men, you get tangled up in pornography and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you, it'll leave you damaged. It'll leave you damaged. You better be careful about it. Hey, be careful what kind of things that you get involved in. Because Satan will always take you further than you want to go. He'll keep you longer than you want to stay.
Amen.
We're living a lifestyle of sin. We really know the Bible says examine yourselves. Be the proof to yourself. Not that you sin, if you sin, sure, go to Jesus and repent. That's what you're supposed to do. Make it right. Your question is not, have you ever sinned or have you ever done anything wrong? It's, are you living a lifestyle? Do you know somebody that's living a lifestyle of sin? Do you know somebody you care about? They're not in God's house. They might say they're saved. And you just accept that because you don't want that burden. You don't want that responsibility, that feeling of it's not on you anyway. All you do is sow the seed and other waters, and God gives the increase. Leave it in the Lord's hands. He said that His burden is light, His yoke was easy. You don't have to carry all that. But don't forget about it. Don't just overlook it. Don't just put it off because you'd rather put more focus on yourself and what your interests are, your likes are. Remember, He's called us to be about His business, about the Father's business. We're stewards of all His goods. We have a responsibility to be about His business.
Amen.
And to see through it. Do you see the process of sanctification in your life? Do you see the process of God working through the Holy Ghost in your life to transform you? Are you growing in